Hey everybody, welcome to another edition here of In the Zone. This is episode 207 today. I'm Giancarlo Lino, that's Chris Martelli over there, and we're going to kick this off with the Super Bowl, which is going down tomorrow night. A lot of interesting parlays have been thrown out there on some of these sportsbook websites, but Chris, just in terms of the matchup here, what do you got here? I know you're a Bengals fan. What are your thoughts now on Mahomes going up against Hurts here in the Super Bowl?
It's probably going to be one of the closer Super Bowls, kind of like last year where I think the spread was 2.5. This year it's 1.5. And Philly, obviously the favorite for a reason. They've come in and they've decimated everybody they've played. Yeah, you know, everything kind of went in their favor. The Giants didn't play well when they faced Philly. And then, of course, we saw San Fran's quarterback get injured. So Philly's kind of had an easy road. But you look at KC, they had to beat a Jags team that came back and made history. They were down 31-0, and they came back and beat the Chargers. I don't know how the hell that happened. But, you know, then they go in, they beat Jacksonville, and everyone was behind Jacksonville. And then, of course, the Bengals beating Buffalo in Buffalo was surprising nonetheless. And then everyone was taking the Bengals, and then we saw KC again beat the Bengals in a very fishy type of fashion. Again, I'm a Bengal fan, so I got to say that, but it is what it is. Mahomes is probably the best quarterback in the league, and you have Jalen Hurts, who's a guy that he went from being a guy that a lot of people doubted in terms of throwing the football to now being a top five quarterback easily in the game. Now you talk about defense, Alino, Philly might have the best all-around defense. Their run defense is not the greatest, but KC doesn't run the ball all that much. I think Mahomes is going to be finding Kelce a lot in this game. I think Jalen Hurts is either going to use his legs and run, or he's going to find his top wide receiver in A.J. Brown. So, I mean, I was saying to you before the pod, the lines are spot on, +1.5, -1.5. I think that's fair. I think the money line and the value on both teams is fair. And even the total, 50.5, both teams could easily get 25 points apiece. So I'll share my play here. I did do a same gamer. I did it on Bet365, +220. KC to win the game, because again, I just think Mahomes, this is his third Super Bowl in 4 years. Andy Reid is facing his old team that he coached back in the day. He's going to be motivated. I think it's going to be an even bigger win on his resume. And I got to go with Travis Kelce getting 50 yards and getting a touchdown, because, Alino, we've watched way too many Gronkowski Super Bowls. The tight ends usually deliver, and they're always red zone threats. So I'm going to lean – I'm going to go with Kansas City here over Philly.
I like it. And what do you think of – the whole prop here for the MVP? Are you leaning more Mahomes, or do you think Hurts will be the one getting his hand raised when, if they get the Super Bowl, he'll be the one that they call up to the podium for the MVP?
Yeah, the thing with the MVP, Alino, especially with the Super Bowl, is I hate to say it. I know we've seen last year Aaron Donald won it, which he was a defensive player. In this case, when you look at a total of 50.5, I don't see a defensive player winning it here. I know Chris Jones, the O-line for KC, has had a phenomenal year. There's a couple guys on Philly who have been phenomenal. But, yeah, at the end of the day, it comes down to Jalen Hurts and Mahomes, I think, for MVP. And I got to go again with the guy who's been there before. Nobody can do what Mahomes does, specifically out of the pocket when he's scrambling. Dude, he'll throw either a laser, a sidearm, a lob. Like, you don't know what the hell he's doing. He's unpredictable as all hell. But Jalen Hurts is an intriguing option. His value is obviously a little bit better. And he's a guy that can run in for a touchdown. He's a guy that can torch you for 3 passing touchdowns. At the end of the day, Alino, I think it comes down to Mahomes and Jalen Hurts. But I got to lean with Patrick Mahomes here. I just think he's got that more of an X-factor type of feel to his overall team.
And another interesting one. I got to pull this up because these are hilarious. We got the coin toss result here. Heads or tails. Who will win the coin toss and the game? It's a nice one there. Someone wants to get in on that. But the novelty specials, it's the one everybody looks at the end of the game, the color of the Gatorade. And the choices out there, the underdog is purple. Do you think that nice little color will come up there and make people some money?
I think, Alito, you always have to look back at the team colors. Like so there's green and then there's red. I don't know what it is. I have this feeling it's going to be orange. I don't know why. I think it's a perfect blend. I know KC, you look at their jersey, they have a little bit, they have a hint of orange in it, just a hint. It's like an orange, yellow, red. The favorite is green lime, and I know that's a good flavor to drink. That's one of the best ones, but I don't know. I mean, if Philly wins, that makes sense. But if KC wins, dude, I like that one right down there, red/pink. I think that's one that I would take. I think the value there is pretty solid. But, hey, if we're talking about drinking Gatorade, I'm taking the favorite. Green lime is probably the best one.
I'm with you. And just looking at this, like, purple, I think if somebody gets, like, a purple shower on their jersey, it's going to destroy the whole color. And I think for TV-wise, they might not want it just because of the color of the jerseys here. So I understand why that's a nice plus 1,000, but you never know. The NFL does things that piss people off, so maybe they'll collect some money and do that. But in terms of some of these plays here, I'll pull up that it had an interesting one with the weekly special. A.J. Brown, 4 receptions, and Kelce at 5, leading the way at minus 200. Just on the way they played this year and in this playoff run, do you think this is a realistic one to shoot for?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like I was saying, I think when you think about receiving with both teams, they're looking at A.J. Brown, who had over 1,000 yards, and you're looking at Travis Kelce, who's chasing history and trying to be the best tight end of all time. So Kelce, to me right now, is just a sliver under Gronkowski. But Alino, if he gets a touchdown here, if he has another great performance, wins his second Super Bowl, I think he's right there in terms of, I mean, statistically, he might pass him in 2 years just based on how heavily Casey relies on him. And his routes are crazy for a tight end. This is a guy that's like 6'4". The way he moves, the way he dodges the defenders, the cornerbacks is phenomenal. But I do like that a lot. I think A.J. Brown's a guy that has to get 4 receptions if they want to win the game. And I think Kelce has to be involved as well. He has to kind of mock what A.J. Brown does in order for Casey to make this one close. So, yeah, that's one that I definitely like. Another one, Alino, that I will throw out there for you, I think it's an anytime touchdown. We're talking so much about tight ends. I think the tight end on Dallas, his name's Dallas. The tight end on Philly, Dallas Goedert, I think this is a guy plus 180 here. You need to find a quick option. I know Jalen Hurts usually likes to just run in a touchdown, but in this case, guys like Chris Jones, I think, are going to be hungry to sack Jalen Hurts. They know he doesn't have a shoulder that's 100%. I think you take Dallas Goedert there at 180. I think that's an absolute great value bet. He could even get probably the first touchdown. If I really wanted to be adventurous there, it's probably at like plus 2,000. I'm not doing that, but Dallas Goedert, I think it should get a touchdown in this game. We saw last year a couple tight ends got TDs. Uzoma got a touchdown, and Higbee got a touchdown last year in the Super Bowl. So Kelce, for sure, I think, is getting one. I don't want to jinx it because, again, I have $50 on that, but I'm going to go with Dallas Goedert as a really good value bet here for a touchdown.
I like it. And there's another one I'll throw out there too, because as we're talking about MVPs, you need somebody to stick out there. And if Mahomes is going to win an MVP, I see him running a couple of yards, maybe 4 or 5 yards to get a touchdown. So that's a very juicy number. You look down there at Mahomes, and I know Hurts is a pretty good number and a pretty good hit all the time when he gets a touchdown at 100, but Mahomes at 450 with big game on the line, just run a couple of yards over the line, skip over. I think people will be circling that one as when they're building their parlays.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. I think I know the whole narrative of, yeah, his ankle sprain, but it's been 2 weeks. And even when he played against the Bengals, he looked pretty mobile. So like I said to you, like, I think 2 minutes ago, like, Mahomes in the pocket when there's pressure, he's a guy that just has one of the highest IQs. He's always trying to find someone, and if he can, he will do it himself, even with a high ankle sprain. So I do like that. But again, Alino, it depends on how far down the field they go. If they go to like the 6-7 yard line, I think he will try and go with a Jerick McKinnon, like a running back. But yeah, if he's at the 3 yard line and he has no options, I wouldn't be surprised if he does like a little like shimmy dodge and he just runs it in for a plus 450 return. So I like Mahomes a lot here. Another guy that I like, value Kenneth Gainwell as well to get a touchdown. We saw the last couple weeks that he's the secondary running back for Philly. Miles Sanders is a guy where early on in the game, you will see him running the ball quite a bit, but it's kind of like Alino with Dallas. They had two really good running backs. Tony Pollard's the guy that really did all the work. And then when you get in the red zone, you put Ezekiel Elliott there and he'll get the touchdown. I could see something like that happening here where Miles Sanders can run like 35 yards in one possession. And then bam, who's out there? It's Kenneth Gainwell, not Sanders, getting the touchdown. Kenneth Gainwell, Alino, at plus 390 to get a TD. I like that value as well.
Speaking of value, and we talked about just some of these props coming out there. You mentioned Gronkowski's name, and he has an opportunity here to either piss everybody off or just, you know, make everyone happy. It was over here that one of their promotions that they're offering on this app or this sports book, FanDuel, if somebody just puts a $5 wager there and anything on the Super Bowl, when Gronkowski goes in to do a field goal attempt, you'll get $20 added to your account that you would have to use in 1 week's time. So he's been training. Do you see Gronkowski getting the job done on Sunday night?
I do see him getting the job done. This is one guy that doesn't take failure pretty well. So I think he's been calling Vinatieri. We've seen the promotions. We've seen the marketing. This is a guy that won't take no for an answer, Alino. So I do think, get that free $5 out there. You'll get the 20. I guarantee it. I think Gronk wins. I think this is a guy that you could always bet on. So I'll take Gronk all day. I don't see him disappointing here, especially after Tom Brady retiring. I think this is – he wants to get that negative, you know, press with Brady, Gronk out of here, saying both of them are old men now, both retired. Gronk comes in here. He kicks the field goal. He makes everybody get a nice little cash out.
I hope so. That would be nice just to see that go in there. And I think everyone would probably go to FanDuel after that when they see, oh, these are the kind of promotions they offer. Let's sign up. So this is a good way to get more customers. I think they can benefit with him kicking that in there. But you mentioned Brady and him being retired. How long do you think that retirement lasts? Are we thinking a month, forever, or do you think this is just a short term when this game's over, we're going to hear that there's a team offering a nice contract?
I'll say forever, man. I think this is finally where he's done. I saw an article the other day where I think he actually signed a piece of paper where once you retire, you have to hand it into the NFLPA, and they sign it, and then basically teams can't offer him a contract. So, I mean, we've seen guys like Gronk come out of retirement. We saw Brady come out last year and Brett Favre before, but I don't know, man. I think the way that it ended, I think he's kind of realizing that he can't necessarily be the best player in the league anymore. He's actually far from it now, but I'll say he's done for good. I saw Fox give him a nice little payday, a 10-year contract, $375 million. Must be nice. But I heard he's not starting it next year. It's the year after. So he's going to probably take a year to maybe get his marriage together. I don't know what the hell's going on there, but if he can really settle in, maybe fix his personal life, get a complete balance, reset, come into 2024 as one of the better sports anchors, I think it'll be good. I don't see him coming back to the NFL. I don't think he should either, man. The guy's 45 years old.
Yeah, he should call it a career. And just all that money he's getting already signed and ready to go, he's got a nice little future ahead of him. Future's bright for that young prospect in the media world there. We'll go on now to something where it's like just straight out of FIFA, like manager mode. Because when I saw the NBA deadline, it's like 2 a.m. and all these trades are going down for superstars in the league, just casually changing teams like nothing. Like KD was a big one. He gets traded to Phoenix in a huge package. Kyrie gets traded to Dallas. Like, what the fuck is going on here? When this happened first, what was your reaction to this? And did you think Phoenix and Dallas would be the destinations for these guys?
No, definitely not Dallas for Kyrie Irving. I thought when the whole, oh, I'm unhappy and you know, I'm tired of losing and this and that, Kyrie Irving was dropping like 30 points a game. They were starting to put wins together. It was like, okay, Kyrie, maybe if you like just play it out for the year, maybe you guys can win a playoff series, potentially go far. But nope, their patience completely went thin. They're like, yeah, I want out of here. And I thought for sure it was the Lakers, man. We saw so many times. We talked about it briefly last week or 2 weeks ago. You know, LeBron pulls all the strings. This is a guy that just controls the league when push comes to shove. Like we said, it's a players dominant league now. The owners are just there for the money. Like, they don't really have a say anymore. It's more, let me go here. I'm demanding to go here. And that's the case with Kyrie Irving. The guy literally, as soon as it sucks too, El Nino, because like you talk about the big three with Harden, Kyrie, and KD, and it even had to drag down to Sean Marks and Steve Nash. Steve Nash got fired. I thought he was doing a phenomenal job. He was doing what he could, setting the right game plans. I know it's hard to always balance around three guys, specifically guys that are ball dominant and one of the better scoring threes of all time. But, hey, that didn't work out. And then Kyrie Irving, man, I know KD went down with the injury and it was unintentional, and it's very shitty to see because I have him in fantasy. But this guy's just like, yeah, I want out. And I'm like, okay, he has to go to the Lakers here. It just makes sense. And then all of a sudden I get an update where he goes to Dallas. And I think the whole NBA was kind of like, oh shit, like you got Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic here. I don't really know what to expect. But then of course, bam, KD's like, I got to be the center of attention. It's got to be about me. I got to be the guy that makes the headlines more important than anyone else. And what do we see? We see KD apparently, as soon as Kyrie leaves, requests the trade and he goes to Phoenix. Now, Alino, we talked about this in the offseason. There were three or four teams that were, you know, garnering interest around KD, and Phoenix was one of those teams. So when I saw KD, I remember it was like, what? It was at like, it was the day before the deadline. It was around like 10 p.m. It's like teams are kind of monitoring Kevin Durant's, his status with Phoenix, with the Nets. And right away, I kind of had that suspicion where it's like, you know what? Kyrie got traded. I think KD might be getting traded too. And he goes to Phoenix. And what happens? They don't even give up any of the top three players on their team in the return, which to me was just, honestly, man, it was a joke. I think at this point, Brooklyn, I know you get Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson, who they're great guys. But dude, if I'm Brooklyn, you're trading Kevin Durant. You should at least be asking for like Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton the other way. Now, when you look at Phoenix, like this picture says it all. Like they should win a championship with these guys here. Devin Booker alone and Chris Paul were special 2 years ago. Now you add Kevin Durant and DeAndre Ayton another year of development. Dude, this team is terrifying. If I'm LeBron James, I'm pissed off. If I'm Luka Doncic, I'm pissed off. And dude, I feel so bad for Nikola Jokic. This guy just keeps putting up ridiculous numbers, and just the mountain just continues to get steeper and steeper for him. So I think Phoenix, yeah, I think it is championship or bust at this point. They went to the finals 2 years ago. I think this is a team, Alino, where we see, I think they do something special here. But hey, you know who's one team I don't feel bad for? That's Memphis. Now they're going to be humbled. So
yeah.
I like the trade all around. I think the NBA is a circus. I think if there's one league that can get away with it, it's this league. And we saw it on Thursday.
Yeah, now we got the Warriors thinking, oh, look how nice we looked last year. And now all these players, all the depth on the other teams in the West. So if the Warriors can get it done again, get through the playoffs, that would be crazy. They have the consistency. They have the team chemistry to do it. But this might be too hard. We could see like Curry and KD go out in the playoffs. I like the Pelicans still just because of the matchup. I think they're bigs and you have Zion, you have Ingram, like size, they can do it. I look at Jokic and if he can get his team to the finals, like we're putting him, I think, in the same category with Shaq and all the other all-time great bigs like Olajuwon, like 100% because everything, like you said, is stacked up against them here. Like all these big threes forming. You got KD going to Phoenix. You got Kyrie now joining Doncic. Like if Jokic gets this done, immediately all-time great status right there in the West. But like, do you have Phoenix going to the final right now still? Or do you think they're going to choke in the playoffs like unfortunately they have done in past years?
I got Phoenix going to the finals, and the only reason why is because when you have a leader like Kevin Durant and Chris Paul, I think this is going to be terrifying. I think at this point in time, they're both dialed in just to win. I don't even think Chris Paul is going to average more than 14 points in this playoff run. I think he's going to specifically just facilitate, use his IQ to his advantage, just feed to Booker and KD. They're both going to probably go off every other game. But, Alino, I will say, I won't say it's completely closed off to just Phoenix winning. I think there's a couple teams out there that can upset. I think I like your New Orleans pick. I think they're a team where they were heavily favored, what, like 2 months ago? Now they're like the complete underdog. They didn't get rid of McCollum. I heard they were expected to, but they didn't, so that's good. And you talk about, I'm never going to write off a healthy Kawhi Leonard. I think as long as he's healthy, he's motivated. Paul George, if Russell Westbrook gets bought out and he goes there, that's another hungry superstar right there. So the Clippers are another team that I'm not writing off yet. Even the Denver Nuggets. And dude, if the Lakers can squeak in, you have a motivated LeBron James. And dude, on February 23rd, we got to mark that day down on the calendar, because that's going to be the first time in 5 years we're going to see Kevin Durant versus LeBron James in a game. So I'm honestly, dude, you know I'm a Laker fan. I have been for a long time. I'm really rooting for LeBron this year. We thought he would average like 25. The guy just broke the scoring record. He's averaging 30 a game. Like, the guy's not human. So I would honestly put LeBron, call me crazy, you know, in the MVP conversation if the Lakers finish like a 6 seed and up. But right now I will say Phoenix, just again to be kind of like that lazy approach. But I don't know, man. The LA teams will always scare me with LeBron and Kawhi.
Like what you mentioned there about being not human, because you know what? I got Kawhi here right now. As soon as all these trades happen,
the Terminator.
He's going back. Yeah, the Terminator is going back to 2019 war mode. He's looking at all these dynasties and all these little big threes getting formed together. He's got to do what he did in 2019. He's going to break everybody up so they just go to duos. So I think he's looking at these guys one by one. He's got his own little hit list going on. And I think when he sees that KD and Chris Paul and Booker are together, he's going to look at Golden State when KD was there and when he got down with the injury and he just went in for the kill. I think we're going to see Kawhi make some noise in this playoff run. He's going to turn back the clock to 2019.
And honestly, dude, like, I think if Golden State can somehow miraculously go to, not even like win it all, just go to the conference final, Curry, it might be a top five player of all time. Like, the guy, every year since 2013 has been running the West. Like, this is a guy that, yeah, you know, he's injured now. It's unfortunate he's missing the All-Star break. I was so upset when I saw that. Like, that to me, I was livid. But if Klay, Draymond, Jordan Poole, you know, Steph Curry, they won the chip last year. If they can somehow, with how good this West is now, go to the conference finals, like, Steph Curry is one of the greatest players of all time, if not already. The guy's already, he has 4 rings. You need one more to have 5. Dude, if this guy gets 5 rings in a modern era, like, that's insane. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, the East to me now is wide open. I think the competitiveness in the NBA is now, like, the teeter-totter for the West is here, and the West and the East is, like, down here now. I mean, you have Tatum, who's been phenomenal. Boston, to me, is going to the finals. I mean, unless Giannis decimates Boston, which it could happen, but the way Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, those two guys are the best duo, in my opinion, in the league. I don't care what anyone says. I think, you know, you have Kyrie Doncic, which is phenomenal. I just think when you look at chemistry night in, night out, Brown and Tatum, man, they just do it every night. So if I had to make a play right now, dude, it's Phoenix-Boston final for me. I know that's probably a lot of other people's finals, but both those teams are just so they're just unbelievable. But we got to talk about the Raptors, man, because they get Jakob Poeltl, which is good. I mean, it's fine, right? You give up a first rounder, that's not so fine. But Alino, Can you explain to me why they didn't trade anybody? They didn't trade Fred. They didn't trade Trent. They didn't trade OG. Like, what were your thoughts on this deadline for them? Because to me, Alino, it kind of baffled me.
I'm with you. When I saw, like, three first rounders, all these teams that were offering them, Memphis was one of them, for OG, like, you would think, okay, they'll accept it, get a young player in return if they can, and see what they can do to their roster. But I think Masai low-key just saw, I want to see what these guys are with around the league. Like, I know how we value them. Maybe some of the value of some players surprised them. Like, maybe he's heard Fred VanVleet wasn't as high up in team's value and depth as maybe he perceived them to be. I think OG was a nice one. It reassured them that, okay, he's a top-end player that we can move at the trade deadline next year or just at the draft and see where we are. But I think the Raptors are going to do all their business at the draft this year. They're going to see all these teams implode during the playoffs because one of them is going to panic after they get eliminated because of how stacked the West is. And I think he's going to take advantage of it. I think he's going to look at these teams and say, okay, we got OG Anunoby available, 25 years old, 26, incredible defensive player. We want your first round pick for the next 4 years instead of three because you guys are desperate right now. So I think he's going to take advantage of this at the draft. I'll be surprised if Fred VanVleet and OG are back. I know Siakam's name was out there. I saw some of the articles that KD, if he was going to stay with Brooklyn, he wanted the management to go after Siakam, which I don't know what kind of assets he would have had for that, but it's nice for him to dream. But I think Siakam should be a part of this team. Him, Poeltl that they got in, I think that's a nice start. They have chemistry from when they started out together, so I'd retool more than just a full-on rebuild. I think you take your assets that you can, move up in the draft, which is already looked at as being a deep draft, and see what you can do from there. But I don't think they should be panicking right now when you have a rookie of the year on your team already.
Yeah, you know what, Alino? I think with the moves with Brooklyn, how they're kind of imploding, and just the way how a lot of bubble teams are kind of playing right now, like you have Indiana who's kind of, they're in and out. They've been a little more inconsistent. You see Charlotte is not good. Washington is not so good. Miami has also struggled this year, too, to string up some wins. Do you think Masai looked at that and was like, you know what? We have a pretty good core here. We made the playoffs last year. Maybe let's go run it. Let's see what we can do this year. I don't think, Alino, like at the end of the day, big picture scenario for me, I don't see us beating Milwaukee. I don't see us beating Boston. I don't see us beating Philly. Maybe even the Knicks at this point, I don't see us beating. But other than that, who knows? Like, I've seen Miami just kind of implode this year, and I hate to say it because I love Jimmy Butler. I love what he did that playoff run in the bubble 3 years ago, almost winning the chip. But, you know, obviously LeBron is going to beat him, obviously. But I think Masai looked at what Brooklyn, what kind of happened to their team, and he said, you know what, that's another playoff team at this very moment that could just completely tank. So do you think Masai looked at that and was like, we're in a better spot than we were a day before?
Yeah, I think so. I think he looked at even the standings and like, okay, this team's going to fall down the ladder. They're just going to pack it in. We have a core here that won a championship and they're all young. Like, he doesn't have guys on his team that are like 35 years old at the end of their career and have these big contracts that he's desperately going to have to move and maybe start all over. Like, the guys that we're talking about were like OG, mid-20s, was part of that championship team, was drafted by the team, has chemistry with Siakam, who's an all-NBA player, still in his 20s. Poeltl coming back, still in his 20s. So it's like maybe they looked at it and retooling is probably the best way to go. You lucked out by drafting Scottie Barnes instead of Suggs, who was another player that Orlando might move. So I think you can look at it and be fortunate. And if the bad thing is, you're going to probably be in this spot in the middle of the road because the teams that you mentioned, they're way ahead of them right now. But 2-3 years from now, the young players that you have that you can trade for assets that are already 3, maybe 4 first rounders, you can turn that around and your team could be at the top of the ladder in a shorter amount of time.
Yeah, and I think we even have a good balance of tradable assets at this point. I don't think there's a lot of teams in the league where you look at kind of like the bench players and that can get a huge return. Maybe like, you know, the Denver of the worlds, the Portland, where we saw they got rid of Josh Hart and they got a lot back for him. They got Cam Reddish, who, Alino, say what you want. He hasn't been appreciated since coming in the league, but I think if this guy, you know, getting dealt from Atlanta to the Knicks for basically nothing, and now the Knicks they didn't even play him. So I think if Portland can give this guy a little bit of time to play and string up some statistical impressive performances, I think Reddish is a guy that can easily be an X factor for Portland. You know, Golden State over the years, Alino, hasn't really had that depth, I think. So you look at Toronto's roster, Chris Boucher, I think, can bring some trade value. I think a guy like a Delano Banton, I know we're really high on him, but I think if you really want to move on from him, Malachi Flynn is another guy where if you're a Charlotte Hornets or you're another team that's kind of down in the dumps and you want to take a shot on a point guard, you can take him. I think, Alino, at the end of the day, we're looking for picks. We're looking for young guys. You trade Fred VanVleet. Maybe you could even package Slim Duck, Chris Boucher in that deal, get an extra pick, get an extra young player. The Raptors are a roster, man. I'm looking at our roster. Yeah, you know, we're not the most impressive by any means this year, but you look at just how our roster is kind of structured. You have a Precious Achiuwa who's getting better every year. Now he can be behind a Jakob Poeltl. I think that's incredible for him. I think you have a guy like a Gary Trent Jr. who, I mean, say what you want, he's probably going to get dealt. But if you can make him a six-man, that's saying so much about the depth with this team because he should be starting on almost any other team. So you have OG, you have Pascal. I think we have a lot of potential with this group. I'm not going to say we're going to go far in the playoffs, but I think we're better than what the standings show right now.
Yeah, it's kind of like that bubble year or the year after where they're playing an empty Scotiabank Arena and they just pretty much tanked. Like, they weren't what their record was. And then they get Scottie Barnes, they make the playoffs again, give Philly a little bit of a scare there, force Embiid to go and face his demons. Battle that PTSD.
He redeemed himself. I will say that.
Yeah, he went back to the scene of the crime there, and he was forced to put up or shut up there. That was all on him. That was a nice performance by him, even though he was injured and
the buzzer
still beat. Got it done, and then sends him home. But I kind of like Philly in the Eastern Conference. I don't know what it is. Like, maybe Harden, he got some touches now this year, is looking a little healthier, moving, getting some shots down. We haven't seen performances where he's not even getting 10 points as often. So I for whatever reason, I think Philly might be a surprise in the Eastern Conference this year.
Hey, I think if there's one guy that's going to be motivated, it's the guy that was supposed to be an all-star starter, but now all of a sudden had to replace to be one, and that's Embiid. Embiid, this year, I don't know what it is. I mean, the last 2 years, he was the runner-up for MVP, and now all of a sudden this year, it's like nobody talks about him. Nobody cares about Embiid, and I think Embiid has a couple receipts, I think, come in playoffs, and I think you don't want to face a motivated Embiid, especially in the East where it's open. So I do like your pick a lot there with Philly. I think I'm right there behind you. And, dude, we saw last year what Tyrese Maxey can do. So he's a guy where if James Harden is going to facilitate more and kind of be like that Chris Paul type of guy where he'll average like 17 points with like 12 assists, don't be surprised if Tyrese Maxey can start upticking to like 23 points a game. So Tyrese Maxey, what he did against the Raps last year was terrifying. And if he can do that this year consistently, watch out for Philly.
Yeah, no, I think Tobias Harris he needs another big run here. I think he needs to be a guy that the Clippers had, and he was this guy that was standing out a lot, and then Philly traded him and gave him that huge-ass contract. Like, he needs to really play it up to it. Like, this is a guy that should be viewed at the way his contract is as part of a big three over there, and hasn't really worked out. So
no.
He's got to turn that around if they want to be successful. But in terms of hoop, is there anything that other teams you were surprised at that didn't do? Like, I look at Chicago as one, like, they have some good pieces. They didn't really do anything, knowing that Lonzo Ball is probably done again for the year. Charlotte's another one that stood out to me. Like, you have LaMelo there. Why don't you go trade and get some more help? But those are the two surprises, I thought, on the East.
For me, for the West, I'll say the Pelicans. I think they were literally like a piece away from being a top five team, and they didn't really do anything. Maybe the offers weren't good enough, but I think there were a lot of names out there that I think really could have helped the Pelicans. Like Terry Rozier was a guy that I heard the Hornets were kind of listening on offers. And if Terry Rozier could have gone to, he could have gone to the Pelicans. You have a starting lineup of like Rozier. You'd have what's his name there as a shooting guard, McCollum. Then you'd have Ingram, Zion, and JB as your starting five. Like that is one of the best starting fives in the league. I do agree with you with the Bulls. I heard they were trying to get rid of LaVine, and teams were not budging because of the contract and a lot of the intangibles that LaVine lacks. Like LaVine is a great player, Alino, but when you look at defense, not the greatest defensive guy. He will bring you a couple locker room headaches here and there. We've seen him fight with the coach a couple times. So I think a lot of teams, I know the Knicks were high on LaVine. They wanted him at some point, but apparently they just look at Brunson, man, and the way he's been playing this year, they don't need LaVine. Like Brunson, to me, I can't believe he still didn't make the All-Star game. I think this is a guy that I think was well-deserving of it. A Villanova, you know, alum, he was phenomenal. He won the March Madness with Villanova. This was a guy that I think he has winning DNA in him. And what we saw last year, man, when he was balling out in Dallas, a lot of people were saying this is a one-off. This is, you know, this is not like Brunson. And he signed that $100 million deal going to New York, and he's backed it up. So I'm happy for Jalen Brunson. But damn, if Chicago or the Pelicans could have got another guy, the Bulls, the Knicks. If the Knicks or the Pelicans could have got like one more guy, man, they really could have turned up their playoff chances of going far. But I don't know with the Knicks. Still not there yet.
It's going to be interesting. Now, Stephen A is going to have to do a reverse thing, a nice 180, because now it looks like the Knicks are New York's team and not Brooklyn.
It looks
so
like it, yeah.
He's going to have to make a lot of apologies there. But moving on here to the ring quickly, because the Elimination Chamber card next Saturday has really been stacked up recently. Like, I'll pull up some of these matches that have been added or were added and some that are rumored to take place here. We have, obviously, the main event everyone wants to see. Roman Reigns versus Sami Zayn. And then, recently, Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley, moved to the Chamber, I guess instead of WrestleMania. Edge is back in Canada, teaming there with Beth to take on Rhea Ripley and Finn Balor. And this one that I saw that this fan made on Twitter that likely will be taking place, another Canadian returning there. So is this card looking like a WrestleMania for the Canadian fans?
It is. It really is. And I'm happy for the people in Montreal because they deserve it. You know, there's not a lot of pay-per-views that go to Montreal. And even though this is a B-level pay-per-view, I think they're going to try and make this a really, really, really great pay-per-view. Like a SummerSlam, but like a Money in the Bank. It's a very important build to another pay-per-view or to future programming. Like you look at Becky Lynch and Trish and Lita taking on Damage Control. I think that just bolsters everybody involved. Like, you know, we're going to see Bayley versus Becky at Mania, obviously. I think if you really want, you could have Trish and Lita go for the tag titles, which, again, I think that would value. I mean, like, it benefits everyone. Like, you have the nostalgia act there, but I think it would also really help Dakota Kai and Io Shirai. If I was booking, I would have them retain. I wouldn't have Trish and Lita win the tag titles. That doesn't really do anything for long-term programming. But, again, when we talk about the women's tag division, it's not really positive for the most part. So, in this case, though, it helps everybody involved. We all know we're going to see Becky Bailey, and I love it there. I got to go with the faces winning here, and I think it's only going to benefit the storytelling with Becky and Bailey moving on to WrestleMania.
I agree, and it's kind of like booking 101, I guess. Put all the Canadians in top-quality matches. Like, you have a return here, Trish Stratus, Canadian. You have Edge returning, Canadian. Brock Lesnar, technically Canadian, lives in the woods in Saskatchewan. He's Canadian. Sami Zayn going for the Universal title. Canadian hometown in Montreal. So do you think that come time for the main event, they're going to be in for a heel turn of Roman and Jey Uso just joining him and playing Sammy all along? Or could there actually be a surprise where Sami Zayn takes one of these titles?
I don't know, man. They're like what we saw on last night where Sami Zayn goes up to Heyman and says, you should be worried about me taking the titles. We saw what happened on Monday with Cody Rhodes mentioning Sami Zayn. I think at this point in time, we're in for a triple threat at Mania. I think just the way it's being built, it pains me to say it because Kevin Owens is a guy getting left out here, I think is disappointing, but it has to happen unless you have Sami Zayn win one title here. But I don't see it happening, man. I don't see Sami winning here. I think you said it perfectly. I think Jey Uso is going to super kick Sami Zayn here, and we're going to see more heat than ever on the Usos, I think. And it's only going to benefit whoever faces the Usos at Mania. If it's Braun and Ricochet, if it's the Brawling Brutes, if it's going to be the Street Profits, I think regardless whoever faces the Usos, it's going to be unbelievable. But Alino, I got to go with Roman Reigns retaining here, and I got to go with the main event of WrestleMania. Just like 2 years ago, being a triple threat, I got Roman, Sammy, Cody Rhodes, WrestleMania.
And this match of Bobby and Brock, like, do you think this is going to be the end of their feud, or do you think this will be another filler for Mania?
No, this is going to go to Mania here. This is going to be a no DQ at Mania. Maybe we'll see a Hell in a Cell, something like that. I think Brock at this point in his career is just trying to make things a little bit more extreme. And I think the fact that he's done a long, meaningful feud, not named Roman Reigns, is refreshing. And I think we're going to see him go all out here with this program. I think this is where Brock wins the match because it is in Canada. I think I see Brock winning this. And then at WrestleMania, whether MVP gets involved or the Hurt Business gets involved, I think Bobby will get his WrestleMania moment at WrestleMania, beating one of the most impressive superstars in all time in Brock Lesnar. So I got Brock winning here, and I got Bobby winning a WrestleMania.
Do you think this match will see the Hurt Business, like, depending on what happens, like Brock winning or Bobby, do you think the Hurt Business reforms together at Elimination Chamber? Do you think they'll save that when they all come in together?
I think at this point, based off what we saw at the Royal Rumble, where Lashley just kind of made quick work of Brock, I think this is where we get Brock Lesnar getting his revenge, as he always does. He always avenges like a loss or something like that, an embarrassment. I think Brock wins here, not in convincing fashion, but I think Brock will get the win. And then on the build to WrestleMania, I think, Alino, where the odds are stacked against him, I think this is where Bobby Lashley's going to say, well, I lost one-on-one. I need to get my boys back here. So on the build to WrestleMania, I see MVP getting more involved. Maybe Omos, maybe Cedric Alexander, these guys coming back. Maybe, you know, again, I know they're both faces right now, and I think Bobby right now is more of the face. I have at WrestleMania, we see Bobby Lashley be more of the heel in this situation, and I think it only benefits Bobby for him to win, man, just based off of the year he's had. So I really hope they go that route where, yeah, it is a numbers game and Brock doesn't need help, but I think in this situation, Bobby Lashley's going to come out strong in this match, lose, but win at WrestleMania as a heel.
And we know that Brock Lesnar, all he thinks about is Bobby Lashley. So
yeah,
that was a phenomenal promo
even,
there.
Even after having fun with his wife.
That was hilarious there, Brock just going after it. But this match, I like all these guys involved. I like the whole dynamic here. I want to see this feud end. I'm sorry for Edge, but let's move on here. Like, you don't got too much time. Like, you already said that you plan on retiring in the future, like, not so, like, distant future, too. So, are they overdoing it here with Edge and Finn Balor?
It doesn't help that the guy is gone for 2-3 months either. So, like, I feel for a guy like Finn Balor who's kind of like, what do I do? Like the guy I'm feuding with is off. He's been off for like 2 months now. And Alino, to me, this is predictable just based off, if you look back at all the past Rumble winners and they have an Elimination Chamber match, it's almost like it's an automatic loss. So I don't know if Finn's taking the pin here. I don't see them winning this. I think Edge and Beth Phoenix are going to win this match. And I don't think this benefits anybody here. I think Rhea Ripley, she's going to go on. It's either Rhea Ripley wins this match outright and just looks completely dominant to build against Charlotte, or we see Edge get his revenge here and pin Finn Balor. I don't see Beth pinning Rhea Ripley. I don't see Finn Balor pinning Edge. I think it's really, really that predictable. It's either Rhea's going to pin Beth, or we're going to see Edge pin Finn Balor. But I don't think Rhea really needs to look dominant, man. Like, she came in number one. She did her job. We already know the history with Rhea and Charlotte. Charlotte right now is probably under Rhea when you think of the run that she's been on. So I don't think Rhea has to look too dominant here. I don't think she's going to take the pin, but I don't see Beth and Edge losing this.
I like it. And do you see this as being the moment where Dominic comes out and Ray finally beats the shit out of his boy?
It certainly seems like that. It seems like we're going to get Rey Mysterio involved here at some point. I do like the build. Honestly, I know it's been a little bit of a long time coming for Dominic and Rey, but it's been built organically. We saw when Dominic attacked Rey at his house in crutches, that was hilarious. And, you know, him going to jail, changing his character, but yada, yada, yada. Just never respecting his father. I think it's just a great story. And I think, honestly, Alino, call me crazy, I think Dominic's going to win at WrestleMania. I don't see Rey winning it. I think Rey has nothing to really prove here. And I honestly think Rey Mysterio, this might be his last WrestleMania match too.
Oh, man. It'll be nice, though. Rey, he's a poor guy at the airport. Like, you would think a guy who wears a mask on TV and people still recognize him without it, to the point that they're going after him and saying, sign my whole fucking basement. That's pretty nice of Rey to deal with that in a respectful manner and say, I apologize. Won't be able to. Feel sorry for the guy.
Hey, he's a good pro, man. He's been in it for 20 plus years, maybe even longer, 30 years almost. This is a guy where, this guy's probably one of the most respected guys in the industry. So if he's going to come at you apologetic and, you know, be very, very calm about it. I know there would have been a lot of other wrestlers out there that would have made a big scene. Like, I feel like a Randy Orton, a CM Punk, sure, these guys would have, like, lost their minds. So the fact that Rey was very calm, chill about it, that just shows how much of a pro Rey Mysterio really is in his career. And the fact that this guy has never turned heel in his career is baffling to me. So I think, honestly, Alino, I hate to say it, because this is, like, one of our biggest childhood heroes. Like, John Cena, basically, let's be honest, he's retired. Triple H is retired. Undertaker's retired. This is just another name to that list where our childhood is basically coming to an end, where Rey Mysterio, as good and quick as he looks, if I'm him, man, you're going up against your son at WrestleMania. Like, what else do you really need? This is like a fairy tale ending for him. This is like a passing of the torch. So I think that might be it, man, for him, honestly.
I agree. It's going to be a nice moment. Dominic's been killing it as a heel, so should be fun. And you talked about there maybe what could happen with this outcome here, but can they really do anything here to maybe shift the attention or get people more invested in Damage Control? Because I've seen, like, it's like it's probably lost a little bit of steam since probably Survivor Series. Like, they came in, it looked like a lot of promise and kind of got lost in the shuffle. Do you see any worry, like, maybe that they can turn this around?
I'll say this right now. Like, with factions, the only people that have been really, really great over the career, Evolution, The New Day, The Shield, these guys are all just absolutely unbelievable. When you look at, like, Bayley, for example, the fact that they're kind of transitioning this to a singles already shows that they've lost confidence in Damage Control. Io Shirai, to me, Alino, should turn on Bayley eventually. And I think you have that as, like, a one-on-one program. That would be freaking incredible. I just don't see Alito for the long term with trios in the women's division ever working out. We even saw it. Remember all those years ago when they had like those three teams? It was was it? It was like Becky, Charlotte, and someone else, and like they just had all those different teams, and none of them worked out. So I don't see why this would work out either. So I hate to be so negative and blunt about it, but just it always hits a peak. Especially again, it was at SummerSlam. I think they came back and they all aligned. And yeah, as soon as like November, December hit, it's like, okay, like now we're just focusing on Bayley here. We don't really care about Dakota and EO, at least for now. And it's shown. So to answer your question, Alino, they're not the Shield. They're not the New Day. And just it's not going to work out as a trio. It's hard, man. It's hard to garner interest and peak, you know, entertainment for over a year. So kudos. Like, this just shows how great and dominant the New Day have been, man. And one of them is still not even around.
Yeah, definitely. And like, just looking at this, like, the only one I can even think of that kind of worked was in NXT, like with Toxic Attraction. But yeah, you saw like Mandy gets released and now they're turning them on each other. So yeah, like these programs with trios haven't really worked out in the women's division. It's kind of unfortunate, but maybe that will change, like trial and error. I think NXT is probably the best way to experiment with this because it gets everybody invested. And then once they're on the main roster, they can go back to it. Like the Riot Squad was another one that was here and there. They had their moments, but as singles wrestlers, they're all pretty much doing a lot better. And got to give a shout out there to fellow York U alum there, Trish Stratus, coming back. Do you see her going after a title in the future? Or do you think just one match at a time?
Oh, I mean, what we saw from her at SummerSlam 2019, she could absolutely go for a title if she's still in that peak form and shape. Absolutely, man. You know, you throw a curveball in plans. Maybe it's a month, whatever. But, you know, match by match, we've seen Trish Stratus kind of over-deliver every time. So if you want to really go a sneaky route here, let's say SummerSlam rolls around, this feud kind of continues, it just keeps on going and going, you could maybe go with Trish Stratus versus Bayley. You could go with Trish Stratus again versus Charlotte Flair, maybe for the title. Or maybe, Alino, you could even, if you really want to change it up, Trish Stratus versus Becky Lynch has never happened. So that would be another option that I think I would go on. But yeah, Trish Stratus right now is, in my opinion, a lot better than Lita in the ring. If there is one of the two that would go for a title, it is Trish Stratus for sure.
Be one thing to keep an eye on there. But as we close on wrestling here, gotta just talk about one of the bigger things on SmackDown. Everyone keeps talking about is Uncle Howdy and Bray Wyatt. WrestleMania, where are they going with this? Where do you think it's leading to? And are fans going to be disappointed in it?
Yeah, I think they're going to be disappointed, man. Like, it's all over the place. And the fact that, again, it is a Bray Wyatt story where, again, with Bray Wyatt, it's all about the longevity. It's all about the build to the finale. But what we saw, dude, at the Royal Rumble with LA Knight, that was, to me, a disappointment just based off the build of the match. And I don't want them to just absolutely go bananas with the build for the match at Mania, and then it becomes like a Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt type of match a couple of years ago where it's like, well, the freaking buildup as the tag team was great, and then you do that? Like, that was kind of bad. So if I'm Bray Wyatt, I'd maybe take a break with the, so it's February 11th right now. Like, Mania is what, April 7th? Like, you have 2 months. Maybe take a couple weeks off. Maybe we don't need to see you every week. And again, Alino, is he facing Uncle Howdy at this point? Like, I don't really know who his WrestleMania opponent is. I know that's a good thing because you don't want predictability, but who the hell is his Mania opponent going to be, Alino? Like, is it going to be I can't even name you a guy right now. Is it Randy Orton coming back? Is it going to be an AJ Styles? Like, no idea. I have no idea. Who do you think it is, Alino? Because I'm at a loss for words.
The only thing I can think of, or only opponent, Karrion Kross, maybe, with that character. But I don't know how that would play off. Would Uncle Howdy get involved? Like, would Scarlett get involved? And that's how Alexa Bliss gets back in the fold. But I am so confused when it comes to Bray Wyatt now that it is good that you can go in any direction. But I'm just preparing WrestleMania. There's like the other cinematic match he had. He's going to try and top it, and there's going to be some more batshit crazy stuff we're going to see. I think that what we saw at the Royal Rumble is just at the tip of the iceberg, and I'm expecting something that everyone's going to be talking about, either whether it's good or bad. It's going to be talked about for every single year. As like, do you remember that crazy Bray Wyatt match that we just saw last year and what happened and what he did? Because I remember when Randy, who is another guy you mentioned, likes to play with matches. He burned down fucking houses. He burned down the Sister Abigail's house and Alexa Bliss and The Fiend. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see something similar to that in the Undertaker and AJ's Boneyard match, where it's going to be on a set somewhere and they're really going to go all out like a Marvel movie. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they have planned with them.
Oh, you know, can you see, like, I know Seth Rollins, it looks like he's facing Logan Paul, and that's cool. I get it. I mean, it could be a good match. But can you see a guy like Seth Rollins rekindling his feud with Bray Wyatt? Like, I know that's a stretch. I don't see it happening. But just, like, naming a few opponents for Bray, I think Seth Rollins is a guy that sticks out for me.
Yeah, Seth would make sense. I think they would have to, like, if he wasn't facing Logan Paul, Seth was a guy that was kind of in between. Like, Austin Theory, it seems like they had him planned for John Cena. So I think that would have made perfect sense. And they could add Logan Paul, do something else again, but now with Seth off the board, it's tough. Like, yeah, Karrion Kross is there. Do you throw him in the Intercontinental title match and do like a multi-man cinematic thing that we haven't seen before? I don't know if those guys would benefit from that, but it's unfortunate because Bray, when he came back, he was such a big deal. He's a big star, but I don't know what they're going to do with him.
Yeah, I just feel like they go all in with storytelling with Bray, but then they look down the board and the roster, and it's like, oh shit, well, Orton's hurt, AJ's hurt, Gunther is on an incredible run right now, we don't want to ruin that for him. He's probably going to face Drew McIntyre at Mania, something like that. Or I want to see Sheamus versus Gunther over Drew versus Gunther. I think Sheamus, man, can you imagine he's the guy that dethrones Gunther at Mania? I think that pop would be like just massive.
Finally wins a title. I think they got to do it. Or even if it's a triple threat, have Sheamus get the win, though. Like, regardless of how they do it, I want to see the fella get that IC belt.
Do you like the IC belt? I kind of don't like it that much.
Yeah, it looks like a toy from Power Rangers mixed with a boxing title. They got to change that shit. I don't like it. Ever since they introduced it, I thought it was fine before. That was a title that they didn't really need to change. And for whatever reason, no, they're going to do it. So I hope when they change all the other titles, eventually with the Universal title, I think they'll probably keep that one. The WWE title, I see them going with one of the retro ones. I think they should bring back an old IC title. Maybe the one from like 2005, bring that back again.
The Globe.
Yeah, just bring something back.
Yeah, I don't like the new belt at all. I mean, the US title's pretty nice, not going to lie. But the Intercontinental, Jesus, man. I see that. I'm like, Gunther, come on, man. You can do better than that. Just bring back the freaking white strap. You would look solid in that. But yeah, man, with Bray Wyatt, I have no freaking idea. But hey, Ronda Rousey's now back? That's fucking horse shit.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with her either. Maybe this is going to be her and Shayna winning the tag titles. That's the only thing I can see out of there.
They're Did gonna she have a take long Natalya's run. Spot?
I think so. She's a new tag king on SmackDown.
Of course. Oh my god, dude. Like, so who do you think's gonna win the chamber, man? I think it's gonna be I want it to be Liv. She's not winning it. Can you see Raquel winning it?
I think it would be nice to see Liv win. I think they'll be off the board. You can get her go up against the champ, and that'll be like Bliss changing brands. Yeah, so Bliss.
Yeah.
Continuing the story with Bray, I see this going down again. I think they should have not had the Royal Rumble one, because that match was unfortunately a filler to the feud. But I think that's the end goal there. We'll probably see her go for the title.
And who do you think wins the U.S. Chamber. Do you think Theory retains?
I think Theory retains and John Cena's music hits, and that's a challenge for WrestleMania. I think they could do it without the title, but I think they just want to hide in it more, make Austin Theory's title ring, because he did lose the Money in the Bank and he cashed in on the U.S. title. Made no sense at all. I think they want to make this title mean a lot more, and I think they can do that with Austin Theory bringing out a legend to come challenge him, and he gets a win at WrestleMania.
Yeah, dude, I'm not going to lie to you. I love this Theory run right now. I love it. The guy coming to Raw in Lamborghinis. Like, dude, the guy's, he's must-see right now. I love it for Theory.
A-Town down. This guy's he's a prodigy. It looked like an NXT.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think The Miz is now? Speaking of guys going up and down.
I mean, he's making Madcap Moss look like a main eventer. I don't know what they're doing with The Miz. I don't know if this is just like a little bit of a cold spell for him, or maybe this is like they're going to, you know, they're going to reward him down the line. Like, I don't know what the hell they're doing with him. I know he's like 42 years old now, but he deserves more than this, man. I think he should have been in the U.S. Elimination Chamber. He's not in it. I don't know, man. Like, this to me, give the guy something. Like, we saw him four Manias ago, or I think it was four or three. Remember the match with Shane? Like, he made that program watchable. Like, that program to me was, I thought, I had no expectations. I thought it was going to be shit. I thought, and of course, obviously, why the hell would Miz win? Like, Shane wins the match. What the hell? Like, that makes no sense. They need to reward Miz. We've talked about him so many times on this pod, Alino, where he's probably a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think he should headline. He's good enough. Two-time WWE champion, what, nine-time Intercontinental champion. Won basically everything. Money in the Bank. He's a two-time Grand Slam winner. Jesus. So, yeah, I think The Miz, he's deserving of something, whether you fate, maybe you have him in a feud with Gargano at Mania. Maybe he's facing Dexter Lumis, which, again, has been a feud that's been going on for, like, 9 months. But, yeah, The Miz deserves better, man, 100%.
A poor guy, too. Like, he's putting over, like, everybody. Like, Johnny Gargano at one point wasn't getting a reaction. He got the whole crowd to chant Johnny Wrestling just because they hate The Miz. So, he's an effective heel. Like, I'll pull up this picture as we close out here of just where he was this time last year. It was a Miz getting ready there for a nice little feud, and a guy that was turning on Logan Paul. And it seemed like a reward because it was a big spot. They beat Dominic and Rey Mysterio. Crowd was fully invested. As you can see, this guy right here, he's happy to be with the Miz. And I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, man, it sucks because, like, there's so many new guys. Like, Theory kind of solidified himself as, like, a some main eventer. You know, you have a lot of other guys. Like, Cody Rhodes coming back definitely hampers The Miz. Bobby Lashley just continuing to elevate. There's just so many guys, all you know, that kind of have taken a step over The Miz. Even Gunther over the last year and a half. Gunther's kind of taken the ball and he's run with it. Drew McIntyre, dude, I love it. I mean, The Miz and Sheamus for me are very similar superstars, very underappreciated. Sheamus is another guy I think that's taken over The Miz's spot as a guy that's had a well-deserved opportunity. So at the end of the day, you know, I think when I look back on, like, in like my mid-teens and like early 20s, like, The Miz and Sheamus are one of my favorites, man, honestly. Like, I love both these guys, have been doing it for so long, and it sucks to see The Miz has to take a step back, but it's I'm happy to see a guy like Sheamus potentially get another moment.
The big fella. Be like him winning the title. Too bad it's going to be that fucking title, but they got to change that. Hopefully Gunther brings back something before WrestleMania. He's like, this is the new title that we're fighting for at WrestleMania. Out of the bag like Cody did all those years ago. But Chris, we're going to close it out here. We went through a lot of Super Bowl predictions. Some nice prop bets. The Gatorade one is going to get a lot of attention. The NBA trade circus that happened, and a little bit of wrestling. This was fun. This is In the Zone, episode 207. Chris Martelli, Giancarlo Alino, signing up.